Again. So he the whole akdama is his snatzlus as to what's the point of doing it, of writing, when he's not sure if he's mechavna emes, and is also not sure if his words will be accepted, and that's going to be bet'sam the whole hemshach of the akdama. So let's see the next. Omnam losum di b'toyef nuzulosu kashmeis panim. To try and to present Torah to another person, there's a problem for two reasons. Ha'echad, kim eina mechavman lochalar eina zolosu di ve'emes, lomaloi. Ki tachas ma sheichavman meniach di ve'toref in zolosoi, lehachmos di ve'emes yoysha. It's one thing if you're learning for yourself, so you're making a mistake, it's going, it's not going. We spoke last time about the possibility of, is it false Torah? Is it you make a mistake? So for yourself, that's the process. There's no way for you to move ahead if you're not willing to take a chance, make a mistake. But when you're presenting something to somebody, unless you're sure that you're giving him emes, what's the point of it? So that's one nekuda that makes him hesitate for writing. Secondly, he says, v'derech emes roch mishayimatzei, and to say that somebody can feel that he's actually mechavna emes, who could say that? U'mekol shekein v'derech ha'alolo shel duchach ne'adam. Two, hasheni, af im mechavin halacha, mi yodea mi rotze mi fizulosei. In order to put the effort into presenting somebody to somebody else, he has to be able to feel that the other person will accept it. To write or to say your things, the other person not accepting, what's the point of it? V'in lo yorotzen adayin lo hoel dava. V'in sofke kol pula she rochak she gia poil tachtas kavanosoi, en roa she yiflo yse pu'ula, shle polo yse liku vatola. It's not the derech chachma that a person do something that is that's doomed to fail. When a person does something, he expects at least some reasonable sense of success. So to sit down and to teach Torah to somebody else, and to write something, you need to have a lot of confidence that you're right. And secondly, to get your message across the other person. And he's going to say that that's very hard, not simply because you're not sure if your presentation is good, but there's a block over here, and this is the next point. This point about not being able to get your emes, your Torah across. This was something that even in Doris, when people were chashiv, it was a hard sell. It says, so it says over here that when he would go into the Beis Medrash, he would be mispalel that I not mess up, and people will be happy with the fact that he messed up. You see that even by big people, so Reb Nechum Akon is a very big person, he's going to be saying a shir, and if he messes up, people are going to be happy about it. So people are not willing to accept things from other people, because, and he says, ki kol odom betivoy sameach b'shleimus ha'isha zulasei. The primary midah ra, obviously, is that I want to be better than you, and adrabah, divrei Torah, it's even stronger, because if a person feels that this is what makes a person chashiv, you're going to get difficult types of feelings. I want to add something very fascinating. Rabbi Saul Salanka, in one of his early igris, writes as follows, that for a person to get to the emes requires practically two drives. One is the drive for emes, and then he says the second one is, he calls the giftike koyach, which means the poisonous koyach, and that is, he calls that the hisnatzchus, the rotzen to be misnatzeach. When you're arguing and fighting with somebody, you want to be right. It's something that is closest to the core of who you are. So, lemushel, if you're fighting with somebody else about money, so a lot of it has to do with the money. So I have a dentura with somebody for $100,000. It's the $100,000 that's the most important part of it. There is another element also, but still, that at least I understand. But if I'm arguing with somebody over some shita, it's not to get me, it's not to get him, it's not to get anybody. But the desire to be right is the person's ego at its core. So Rabbi Sol Salanta says, you need to use a drop of that to drive a person. Just like if a person were to be married 100% L'Shem Shemayim, a person could not have kids. Without having some element of Kriya Chataiva, the Gemara says they were Mvatal Kriya Chataiva, the world came to a halt. You need to be able to use some of it. The halacha is in kishub lidas. So there has to be some nekuda of taiva. The same thing is true in the search for emes. There's some harnessing of that koyach, the tunkler koyach, the giftiker koyach, I think he calls it, the poisonous one. The chachma obviously is to keep it mightily in check. But he says, so therefore when I tell somebody something, there's an automatic resistance to accept it because someone else said it, and I'm not going to be so easy to convince me. There has to be a lot of bal karchach. So this, he says, is the first obstacle in being able to present something to people. People resist it simply because someone else is saying it. I didn't say it, and if I accept it, then I am accepting is somebody else's words over my lack of understanding. And now he says, the inherent nature of a person is to be happy with the shleimus that he has over someone else. So that's why it needs a tefillah that I not be happy, and they not be happy with each other's shortcomings. So he has another possible pshat in the putting the comma in a different place. He says, I shouldn't be nichshal dvar halacha. I shouldn't say Torah tamei. And if I'm not nichshal dvar halacha, everybody's going to be happy with me. So you could place you could read it that way, and then everybody becomes tzaddikim. So he says he doesn't think so. In other words, he hasn't yet even said that he's going to be saying a dvar halacha. So to be able to say that thing, be happy with my dvar halacha, he would have to say yiratzen sha'oim dvar halacha sheye emes and vizmu bichaverei. Starting out shloy kosher dvar halacha clearly puts the emphasis on that. And that's where you're going to have people being sameach. In the way the sentence is constructed, you have the option of not saying halacha at all. Who also says like that? Now he says, if this is talking about Reb Chunya ben Akana, certainly our generation, that's far cry from that, we don't accept other people's. So he says, he's presenting his problem. I'm writing Divrei Torah now. I obviously, writing it means I'm presenting it to people. First of all, I need to have confidence that I was Mechavna Emes, who says. Two, how am I going to convince people to accept it? That's the rest of the Akdama is going to talk about it. He answers the first one with a teretz. The second problem, quite hard, not easy to see where that answer comes. I mean, he sort of alludes a little bit, but we'll see at the end if there's a real answer to that. But for the first one is what he's discussing. Amna. So the answer to that is, if he's mechaven his ma'aser of Hashem Yisbarach, who gave people Torah and Chachma, he will also give him now his Torah and be Madachim Sivas Emes. I want to explain the point he's making. It's not a frum point. I mean, it is frum, but he's not just saying, okay, Sat Deshmaya Kadosh Baruch Hu will help, and so on. He's saying a lot more than that, and this is the point that he's going to really bring out. Let's give a mashal. Imagine somebody is teaching math. So really, the math that you're teaching stands on its own. The ability to understand it has a lot to do with how much das the person has, and how well he understands. And it's really a factor of how much seichel I have and how much effort I'm putting in. That's any chachma that's standalone chachma. Let's go to something that's not standalone chachma. Let's take something which is a hashkafa, a shita, a philosophy. Now, much of the time, those are not really things that stand alone as such. A lot of times, a person's shita, hashkafa, philosophy, and so on, are in a certain expression of the person's feelings about something, of a person's attitude about something. That's not something that is objective, really, not quantifiable easily. And to say that I understand what he means and what he wants has a lot to do with understanding the person. For instance, if let's say we learned, let's say somebody again taught math, science, and we're now going and trying to repeat it, so the person who's smarter, listened more, gets it better, even if he has no shaykhs to the teacher whatsoever. I mean, I understood what he said, here it is, I'll show you exactly how to do the problem, and that's it. Whenever I'm trying to give over an understanding of the person, so I want to try to understand Pliny, this person, what was he all about? So the person who knows him well, and sort of resonated with the person's personality, is going to be much more true to Mark than the person who's an outsider. So if two people are observing this person, and one person might be a historian of sorts, but he never connected, what he says has limited value. He can speak about externalities, but he can't speak about what the person would have wanted. And therefore, you're going to go to the person who is closer to the one who's giving it, to the one who's giving over the stuff, and ask him, tell me, what did he mean? What did he want? What were you saying in this case? My Rebbe Chaim Shalevitz used to say always, he had a very famous shmuz about the stira. Rebbe Lozzi had a stira whether he was a minor mezgabe or le'omad davash le'shami rabbi ma'olam. And his answer was, Chaim had a very sharp way of expressing himself. He said, if you say over what your Rebbe said, you're a tape recorder. You're not a Talmud. A Talmud says, what would my Rebbe have said? He would then also be very blunt. I mean, he kind of had a way of being blunt. He would say, when Rabbi Ruchum said Shmuzen, there were a lot of people that sat and wrote the Shmuzen and were sitting busy writing down the Shmuzen scribbling. But what happened to all these people? He said, nothing. He said, what did I do? He used to speak like that. He said, I used to eat Mavamalka with him. And his point was, I got to know the person rather than his words. And that was the point he was making. So let's go back to Torah. If Torah was an objective type of chachma, closer to mathematics, then it has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Yad Deshmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it helps you. It would be sort of a frum thing. But since Torah is the expression and understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from this world, and all of the different halachis are expressions of it. They're examples of it. So now, if I have somebody who who's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Siyata Deshmaya is not just an outside thing. It's not an infusion of brain cells or it's the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself is the real input as far as understanding Torah goes. And this is, by the way, one of the reasons when we talk about Das Torah, which unfortunately is batted around in the wrong context, wrong way, and so on, what it means is as follows. I have a library with Sifrei Halacha from top to bottom. And I have a brilliant legal mind who can make a phenomenal presentation and so on. Now, and there will be emes in what he says, and in the material that he presents, it might be true. He's presenting it well and true. Now we want to know, in the cases that things are not written, which in real life, nothing, because every case is always different. I want to ask you, what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want in this case? How do I extrapolate from what exists to somewhere else? I have a problem with this person because he's brilliant at analyzing what is in front of him, but in order to say what would be, I need to feel that the person's teichen, the person's panemius, resonates with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something about his instincts being somewhat in tune with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instincts. On the other hand, if this person I feel is very dovek and kosher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what he says about things that are not clear and sort of are more in a general sweep of things, my sense is probably this is closer to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want. Because if it's dry facts that stand on their own and it's not an expression of somebody's rotzen, then yes, the first person is better at it. But when you're talking about using everything we have as an example of what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have wanted, that is, that's shayach more to a person that's dovek and kasha. So he says like this. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives Torah and is manchal Torah, Torah came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just that he happened to deliver the package with the Tanakh and the Shas to my doorstep. It's the mitzias of Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzen in the Bria expressed through Halacha and Agada. Then it brings the famous Chazal, Uperik El Nedorim, Amar B'Yehuda Marav, Maidich Siv, Mia Yishachachem V'yavin Esayisam Av Da'aretz, Dovazan Yishachachamim L'Nevi'im L'Malachim V'loi Pershua, Chepirsha Keshvach Ba'atzma, Hashem V'yim Hashem Ha'azun Teirasi, Yisham Yekoy L'Holchuba. Hayin V'loi Shom Yekoy L'Ayin L'Holchuba, Amar Rav Shlebirchum Torah T'chila Adkan. Which is almost everyone asks the same problem. What does he mean? V'dov ze teima shechur ma'aretz b'shvil shabircha Torah t'chila l'vishla avadazor gilarayish v'chazdom shabayis rishon. I mean, what does shabircha Torah t'chila mean over here? It certainly can't mean that they weren't mekayim da loch b'rza Torah. It can't be that trumps every other aver they did. Amnon, bir ze. Ki adova shehu sibel metzius dova acha hu gam kein sibel al kiyam metziusi. Something which is the essential cause of something else must remain for me, if A is the essential cause of B, not circumstantial cause of B, then without A there is no B. Let's give an example. Let's say I'm looking for a job and an employment agency gets me a job as an accountant in, you know, I don't know, Apex. That was always the muscle they used to use, the Acme or Apex widgets. So I get the job, and I have the job, it's very nice, and the employment agency dies. The guy dies. I mean, I sent a note of condolence to the family, but my job is not threatened by it. Even if the guy gets very, very angry at me, and he says, I'm going to tell the people that you're a terrible person, I probably won't lose my job if I've been doing a good job. Let's say Acme goes out of business because some other failing. They didn't market it well. The CEO embezzled the money. So I kind of was haste. I'm doing my job well, and it's I'm not at fault. Why should I lose my job? The answer is, your job is the accountant of the firm. No firm, it's not the pshat is that they fire you. There is no accountant to a non-firm. So the difference is the first cause, the employment agency finding you the job, is a sort of circumstantial cause. I needed a mikra at this time to get it going, but it's not the etzem. The employment agency is not the etzem, the reason for being an accountant. But the accountant of a firm, the firm's existence, is the reason why there's an accountant to the firm, and dalmehocha, the firm, there's no more accountant. So when we talk about cause and effect, a cause and a toilada, a tzovit, we're mafrim tine too. And he says the famous mashal, Vayikshol, ke anaga hu siba lebinyan abayis, v'im kol zebeda nagish abayis kan. So he asks me, a carpenter can die and the house will remain standing centuries after he dies. Davaz eina, ke echa nag, eina naga siba lebayis. He's not the essential cause of the house. Rak shu mekarev etzim yachad, he provided a necessary step in the process. What he did was to bring the wood together, not the house is not his pu'ula. That's only called mikra. And again, the word mikra used at Maral, it's not the way people use mikra when they talk about Ashkacha Pratis stories. Mikra means it's incidental as opposed to essential. The word mikra and be'etzem in the Maral is very important afchanis, and they're very logical afchanis. The right word for mikra is incidental, as opposed to be'etzem, which is essential. Avodavishu siba be'etzem zidam, something which gives something else its essence. Kolshkin su siba l'kiyim shaloi. Shrei hoya siba shi'a nimtza, v'gamkin u siba l'kiyim shaloi. So Baal Korchach, if you're the reason why I am the accountant, then the reason why I'm still an accountant is because the firm still exists and still has place for an accountant. So he says like this. If let's say my tfisa in Torah is I'm tefis just the world of the mitzvahs. That's all Torah to me. Torah is an instruction manual for mitzvahs. If I let go of the mitzvahs and I'm not being shamed of the mitzvahs, then I've given up Torah. There's nothing that will restart it again. If I'm Teufis Torah as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then even if I let go of some of the mitzvahs, but the essence of Torah is something else. I will use the pasuk if it's like it says by Yosef, if you grab something by its clothing, the person can just step out of the clothing and you're left with the clothing and not the person. But if you grab the person, then he'll stay there. If a person's tefisa in Torah is some external facet of Torah, the brilliance of it, the hergel of it, even just the kiyuma mitzvahs as such, without being tefis the HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the core of it, then it's possible b'yomin ayomim a person lets go, and then everything floats away. So let's say there's something in a tree that's wrong in one of the branches. Cut the branch off and left with the tree. But if you cut the roots off, no tree. So if let's say their tfise in Torah was mikoyach that it's a rotzon of Hashem, so then the person would at some point be nimshach to it. So this is an extraordinary pshat, like Baruch Tehillah, which is the etzem, the agdar of it. You know, Birchas HaTorah is the only bracha deraisa, I mean, Birchas HaMazon, but it's because, in a certain sense, every other bracha, at its face value, is it's talking about a mikra. I'm eating an apple, the apple tastes good, I need to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the boy of the apple. But the apple is an apple, and the apple is food, and it tastes good. I need to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu thanks, so it's like a gift. Someone gives me a gift, and I get the gift. And so, Lamashal, let's take it to a dogma. Imagine that I wanted to understand how to play an instrument, let's say. I wanted to understand music. So I speak to somebody who understands music, and I say, teach me this. The person teaches it to me. It's great, and I'm very happy. If I lose my interest in music, so I say shalom. I say, you know, I really appreciate how much you taught me. I'm not interested, or I feel whatever it is. Let's say this is a person that I enjoy his company. I like this person a lot. And the conversation, this person enjoys music. So I talk to him about music, not because necessarily I'm thrilled with music, but I'm thrilled with the person. And if this is this person's interest, his interest is music, his interest is his philosophy, his interest, whatever it is, even if I'm tired a little bit of whatever he wants to talk about, but I'll always come back because I like the person. As long as I like the person, I'm coming back to the person. If a person dehares Torah as something, a chachma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just the agent that gave it, then it's going to last not forever. If a person is teifis Ribbono Shelam, and that's what he's teifis in it, then even if he messed up in the Torah, even if he got tired of it, whatever it is, he's going to come back to it again because Ribbono Shelam's there. So the Birchas HaTorah is what's the right word for it? It's putting the dogish in the right place in terms of what I'm learning. As opposed to other brachas, which are just an acknowledgement and a thank you, you know, for providing it. In Torah Bemis, we talk about the Neisna Torah, we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave of himself. I'm acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu because when I sit down to learn, I bet some my thought process should be, I'm being mekasha myself to Ribbono Shelam, and the way in which you're doing it is through Torah. I don't want to go off track a lot, I don't have that much time, but this is an edel point because it was a bone of contention, one of the main bones of contention between the Chassidim and the Litvisha about what's the Lishma of Torah. And the Nefesh HaChaim on one side, the other side is not clear. There is Yoshe Divrei Emes, which is a very early Chassidish work, who's the first one to make this point very, very strongly, that learning for enjoyment is not the Shema. You then have later in the side of the Slanema, who makes this point, and the Nefesh HaChaim Lumasai, who goes the other direction, is very strong that the Arevus and the Tam is part of it. So everyone always stresses this machlokas. Like all real machlokas, it's not a real machlokas. I want to explain it because it's worth it. People talk about this machlokas. I think they both meant something different, and they both mean the same point, and they're both just emphasizing what they think is missing or wrong. Let's give two mishalim. One is if, let's say, I tell somebody, I'd like to get to know you. And I tell the person, I sit down with the person, and I'm trying to pick the person's brain about a business deal. This person's got tremendous business acumen, or he knows some inside stuff, and I sit with the person, I pick their brains about the business or whatever it is. It's hard to say that I'm interested in the person's friendship. It's hard to say that I'm forging a friendship. I'm basically milking the person for whatever he has, and the person is just a chetim. So that's one side. The flip side is, let's say I'm trying to form a relationship with somebody, and all I do is sit and stare at the person. It doesn't go. Unless we have a common area of interaction, and we interact together in something that we both enjoy together, that fosters the chibur. So even marriage is first and foremost, there's a bias. There's some circle that includes the two together, and the bias is ma'achid. It's both an expression of the ichud and it is the ichud. If a person, the two extremes that both are trying to avoid, and I think both would agree, the disagreement is just which piece do you need to push on. If somebody sits and learns Torah because he's really bright, and he loves solving problems, he could be doing it with, he could be writing treaties on law, he could be doing math problems, he could be doing any other problems, and that's his, he looks at it as was the case of certain types of literature, the character, you know, the guy who was smoking cigarettes on Shabbos and writing Torah. Unfortunately, there was something that had a place. It wasn't, and that certainly is not Torah. And even if you're not smoking the cigarette on Shabbos, but you're learning it with that sense of I can produce some brilliant works, it's not Torah Lishma. That I think everybody agrees on. The flip side is somebody is sitting and reading Baba Metzia with tremendous thinking of being David HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he has that same ecstasy as a person doing a kumsitz. He just, those words are holy and they flow through me and they energize me and they bring holiness and kudosh b'nei neshama. That's what the person is thinking. The person is not breaking his head, who's chayiv, who's potter, why is chayiv, why is potter. That's also not forming relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's good maybe for kumzitzing, for tehillim. It's not for the special bond of Torah. The special bond of Torah is that my heart and mind together can be knotted with relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like the person that I enjoy, who we enjoy together, the common activity, is the bond. So Nefesh HaChaim is speaking against the people who are looking at Torah like another dveikus. And I remember I once heard a Chassidish Yid, it was a fine Yid in the Shtibel, they were learning Bein Mincha L'Mayer of Mishnayis. The Mishnayis was Tyrus. And the person who was reading the Mishnayis had a faster clip than somebody saying Ashrei on a 3-minute minyan. The guy was zipping through it, and then some newcomer there, he says, "Hey, explain something." So the guy says, explanations will come later. Like explanations also something to zip through, and then you zip through the Rav. So that's not real learning. That's what Nefesh HaChaim is speaking about. The Chassidish are speaking about the guy who thinks that he likes, he's academic, he loves learning, he loves solving problems, very bright. It's got zero to the Ribbono Shalom. And this, you know, and whether Nachas Rami is smoking on Shabbos and learning, it's as far as he's concerned, the learning is not very little. Either the two is not emes. The emes is like the Maral puts. Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ritzonus, thoughts, understandings. You need to recognize that ultimately I'm understanding and feeling, I'm trying to grasp the Ribbono Shalom, but the grasping is not by gawking at the Bat Gemara, it's not by shaking, it's not by rolling the eyes, it's by understanding what it is with my seichel, and then my neshama gets caught up. Okay, I have a few minutes. What's the any questions, any points? I don't know.
What about Loyla Mishnah Adam at Talmidai, Beloshan Rabbi, and Rabbi Eliezer, who didn't teach anything that his Rebbe didn't teach, and things like that?
So that the reason for that is, if you take a look, something very interesting. If you take a look at the first sefer that we have that tries to sum up the Gemara, is the Rif, and he doesn't really changes the Gemara. He just takes out the pieces that are Shagatari and keeps the Lashon. The Rambam was next, and he preserves the Gemara also, as he restructures it. But the Mishalim that are used, the cases that are used, he uses the Gemara's cases, even though in his time it may not even been relevant, those cases, but he uses those cases. And if the Rambam uses a case other than the Gemara, we sit and crack our heads, why? The Mechaber uses the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, and I'm sorry, the Mechaber uses the Lashon of the Rambam, and only makes changes when he disagrees. Mishnah Berurah, if anybody ever pays attention, he uses the Lashon of the Be'er Hativ, and then he adds or takes away. And the logic behind it is, Chazal and Kadmonim hid a lot in the case they used, in the expression they used, in the lashon they used. When you lose that, then you end up possibly losing a lot of information. I remember when I worked on my siddur, Elias Layol siddur, that's a plug. Yes, Yaakov, you're allowed to plug this. So I wrote the halachis. So I went to the Mishnah Berurah, and I Mishnah Berurah's lashon is sometimes awkward. Sometimes you don't get what he's saying exactly, the halachis. So I rephrased it to what I felt was, you know, much more user friendly. I then sat with it with my uncle, Rabbi Greinerman, should be well, who's a yid, a tremendous, it's not a poisik, he's a bal halacha, his nefesh is halacha, and he was very annoyed and he rephrased it. And he said, look at, by changing it, you're losing a few nuances. Chafetz Chaim may or may not have meant it, but you're not in a position to make that decision for anybody. So therefore, if you're trying to be an honest, if you're trying to say your own psakim, then right. My psakim, that's legitimate. But if you're trying to give over the Chafetz Chaim, every time you rephrase it, you're not sure what, when the Chafetz Chaim hemmed and hawed and wrote something roundabout, there was a reason why he wrote roundabout. It was because he's making a statement how certain he is about the halacha, how he wants to approach it. So when you're saying over a memra from his Rebbe, so anything that's a memra of a Rebbe, then you should say the same lashon. If it's a hezber, you know, I mean, I know that when somebody says a shtickle Torah, when I do the testing for the yeshiva for the mir, if somebody says a shtickle Torah exactly what his Rebbe said, you know he didn't understand it. When he can rephrase it, but in his words, so you distinguish between the Mishnah part, which is sort of the memra halach, the way he said it. And so if a person wants to say over Reb Chaim, the phraseology of Reb Chaim should be said over Reb Chaim's words were like this. And then the person should give an understanding, explanation that is his own. So the person that Gobel Shem Rabbi is going on the phrase itself, the Hezber is best given in your own words, your own understanding. Yes. One correction, Rabbi Shua Berman pointed out last week, he sent that the Ikrim that I wrote, that I said over last week about that if a person makes a mistake in Ashkaf and Ashita, he's not an Apikar Zahan's mistake. He pointed out that he's saying it in the Ravid Shita, not the Rambam Shita. On the one hand, it does seem like that. On the other hand, in the general flow of it, it's hard to say that maybe it's just not accepting Rambam Shita as being possible. He's trying to clear himself and saying, my hand is shaking and that I'm writing in such a yonim. I want to explain that if it's an honest mistake with somebody who's looking for the emes, it's fine. So it's hard for me to understand that he would say, well, I might be not because like the Rambam, but I'm safer to write it. On the other hand, if you take a look at it again, it does seem like that. If you were to take this like that, I want to point out, it's not as clear as I made it. Okay, any other points?
If anybody wants to ask anything, please unmute yourself.
Okay, Beseder.
What's with the pasuk?
Right.
How does it work out?
Right. That's almost the opposite of what. So I'll tell you, Chassidish Taich, it's the Oisi Meloshen Oisis. They should have left alone the letters of the law, and they should have kept the Torah. That's a Chassidish Taich in it. Hard to see it as being Pshuta Shal Mikra, but hard to see it as being the Oisis of that Memra, but rather there's another Mahalach Pashtus, which is as follows. If a person keeps Torah, so if a person is committed to keeping mitzvahs, like even if a person is struggling with something with an inner sense of emunah, so as the mitzvahs themselves can also be machzeh a person to it, and you see it b'chush. But here we're talking about where they had already gone. They were doing averus, so both of them have a point. That's emes. If a person is doing Torah only because it's for some reason other than that could disappear from him. On the other hand, if a person is adamant, it's very hard. it's very hard for a person to keep Torah without feeling that he's doing the right thing. There's some connection there. He may be hollowed out, but there's a connection that keeps him. So maybe mitzad that, that's a pshat in the Gemara. I'm not sure, but it's something to think about. Okay. Right. So, but the Moshe Behem, it's because the person is doing it with some reason. When a person, unfortunately, it's more common than not common. When people leave things, so if a person is doing it just for social reasons, at some point it's gone. If a person does it because he's mechunech by an erlich person, you find people, a not untypical story is, a person went to very from chayit, a very strong place, they drilled it into him, be'emis, you know, they tell be'emis, but they had a hard time with it, he leaves it, but something keeps schlepping him back because there's a hakar in it, that it's toiv, that it's like the Gemara, like the Gemara says, somebody who is empty, doesn't have that. And he was just doing it for social reasons because the great guys hang out in the kosher place. That has no... So it has to be some marsha behind. There's something... If I'm the head, you're grabbing just the clothing, then it's not. If I'm grabbing it, but I wasn't zeicha yet to the pnim, then I'm zeicha. I have to dab a little earlier today. I'm sorry. I have to dab with early minyan because of whatever. She has yom yon, so I'm going to stop a drop early. Okay. Good. Okay, I got it. Bye.
Take care.